So, we're continuing our series on examples of obedience. And one of the things that's going to make this series a little bit easier to predict is that the point of every single lesson is going to be exactly the same. What's the point of each lesson?
Obedience.
Obedience. More specifically, obedience starts with a P. When you're able to do something, it's because it's possible. So obedience is possible. That's the entire point of all three of these lessons. Yesterday we talked about a wife who was in an extremely difficult marriage, and on the flip side, who can guess what I might be teaching on today? It's exactly the opposite. It's a husband in a terrible marriage. That's right. And we're going through the book of Hosea. We're going to be talking about chapters 1 and 3. And if you guys know, if you guys were there for the Q&A that we did a few months ago, you'll remember that Hosea is one of my personal favorite books of the entire Bible. And the point of Hosea is a whole lot bigger than Hosea's life specifically, and we're going to be talking about that too. But this is another example of a person who was in an extremely difficult situation, one that you guys might find yourselves in, and he was faithful. And we're going to talk about how he was faithful. We're going to talk about why he was faithful. But for a little bit of like context, Hosea was a prophet. And a lot of times, God told the prophets to do absolutely wild things. There were some prophets that he said, hey man, I'm going to have you sit outside of a city gate, and you're going to lie on your side for a whole year without getting up and without moving. And the prophet was like, okay. And there are a lot of other things that prophets did that are significantly worse than that. And being a prophet meant that you were God's mouthpiece, yes.
Like what?
Like having to cook all of your food over poop.
Over what?
Poop. In fact, I believe that was the same prophet too. So, for example, that poor guy just got pounded, man. But there were a lot of things like that, that God gave these prophets things that they had to do, because what was a prophet's job? What was a prophet's job?
Proclaim God.
Absolutely. A prophet was someone that God sent to Israel or sometimes other places in the world with a specific message, and their job was to proclaim God, and God would have them do things as examples of their message. So there are some wild examples of obedience, and we're looking at one in particular, but Hosea was commanded to do something crazy by God in order to indicate a message. And we're going to talk about the message a bit, because like we'd be remiss if we didn't. But the main thing that I want you guys thinking about is just the life that Hosea must have lived and the difficulty of having to obey in this situation. So we're going to start reading in chapter 1, verse 2. And it says, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom. And we're going to stop there. Holy cow! So generally what people take this to be is that God just told Hosea to marry a prostitute. And regardless of whether or not Gomer was a prostitute at the time, what we do know is that God just told Hosea that he's going to marry someone who's going to be unfaithful. Which we talked last time about the difficulty of living with someone who's arrogant, who's proud, who's overbearing, who's mean, and who's foolish. But also, in marriage, living and being married to someone who's cheating on you. And God tells Hosea, you're going to go marry someone who's unfaithful. They're going to continue to be unfaithful, and you're going to stay married to them. He's telling Hosea that he's going to be going into an adulterous relationship, and Hosea is in this at no fault of his own. Like a lot of times you get married to someone who does that kind of stuff because you were an idiot and because you weren't paying attention to who you were marrying. But in Hosea's case, God signed him up for it. So that's hard. For the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Which, could you imagine God saying, hey, go marry someone who's going to cheat on you a bunch, and you just walk straight up to a person and you're like, yeah, that's going to be you. I just think that's hilarious. Like, go marry someone who's going to cheat on you a bunch. I know who I'm marrying. I know exactly who that's going to be. Like, that's kind of funny, but that's a side note. So he does it. But the thing that you got to look about, and this is the first point, by the way, Hosea is obedient. God just told him to go off and marry someone who's going to cheat on him and that he's going to have to stay married to. One of the natural responses in that situation might have been no. But Hosea does it immediately. There's not a gap between God's instruction and Hosea's obedience. God gives Hosea a command and Hosea does it, which, by the way, that's a really great thing to do with your parents. Just a little other side note. Your parent gives you an instruction. You should obey the way that Hosea obeys. But the first thing that we learn about Hosea, his introduction to his book, first thing that we learn is that he follows instructions to a T and he does it quickly. So what a character trait, first of all. And the Lord said to him, speaking of the son that he has, the Lord said to him, call his name Jezreel, for in just a little while I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And this is just talking about Hosea is prophesying at the end of the reign of the dynasty of Jehu and the kingdom of Israel. And God's just saying, I'm going to bring that kingdom down, and your son's name, whenever someone asks why he's named Jezreel, they're going to know it's because I'm going to take down that kingdom. And going down a little bit, it says she conceived again and bore a daughter. Notice, it does not say she conceived again and bore him a daughter. And that doesn't necessarily mean that Hosea had this kid illegitimately, but also strong possibility. We already know that Gomer is unfaithful. And while this doesn't have to be an illegitimate child, it very well could be, which, consider that, not only are you married to someone who's cheating on you, but you're raising other men's kids. And you're constantly looking at and raising and loving a reminder of your wife's infidelity. Again, really, really hard. And then it goes down. And the Lord said to him, call her name No Mercy, for I will no more have mercy on all the house of Israel to forgive them at all, but I will have mercy on the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God. I will not save them by the bow or by sword or by war or by horses or by horsemen. And when she had weaned No Mercy, she conceived and bore a son. Notice again, it does not say conceived him a son. And the Lord said, call his name Not My People, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. So the thing to think about this is, one of the things that makes this so much harder is that, in a sense, Hosea is just kind of like getting jerked around as God does what he wants with his life. Like, when you're Hosea and you're sitting here and you're looking at your life and your marriage in shambles, and you're in a situation where you entered into a marriage that you would not have necessarily entered into otherwise, that you knew was going to be hard, you're raising kids that you didn't want to have, you're raising kids that might not be yours, and in all of that, you're thinking to yourself, man, God did this to prove a point. Like, that's hard too. In a sense, Hosea is looking at his life and it's the direct result of an instruction that God gave him. And yet, we don't see any indication of Hosea having a bad attitude about that. Like, this is a hard situation to obey, not just because he's being told to do something that's difficult, but because he's being told to do it in order to just send a message. And by the way, when we talk about the names of the kids, even his kids are going to be having a lot of difficulty as a direct result of what God tells him to name them. Could you imagine for a moment if one of the pastors in the United States, I don't know, who's a famous pastor? Drew, give me a famous pastor.
Francis Chan.
Francis Chan. Okay, Francis Chan. Let's say that Francis Chan has a kid and he names his kid Hitler. Right? So let's say, you know, little baby Hitler is going to elementary school and the teacher calls roll and she says, Hitler Chan? And then he raises his hand and she says, why in the world did your dad name you Hitler? And then he says, because America has entered into such great immorality and evil that you're basically as bad as Nazi Germany. And just every single place this kid goes, that's going to be a conversation starter, that he got named just to call out the evil of the country he lives in. But then you look at Hosea's kid, and you think, okay, no mercy. Why is your name No Mercy? Because God will have no mercy on the nation of Israel. Oh, okay. How pleasant. Why is your name Not My People? Because you are not God's people and God is not your God. Like, everywhere these kids go, it's not just their dad that has to bear the difficulty of it, but they are having their dad's message strapped to them for life. All out of obedience to God. And that's difficult. But Hosea obeys. And that's the first thing that we learn about Hosea, is that Hosea is obedient. So now, in similar fashion to what we did last time, we're going to learn about Gomer. We've learned a bit about Hosea, but we're going to learn a bit about Gomer. So first things first, she's a wife of whoredom. She's either a prostitute or she's just straight up unfaithful. And she might be conceiving other people's kids. She might not be, but we do know that she's unfaithful. And that's a bit of a bummer. She's an adulterous wife from the start. That's hard. But then it gets even worse. If you want to turn over a couple pages over to chapter 3, we're going to continue our story there. And it says, "And the Lord said to me, 'Go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress.'" He's talking about Gomer, a woman who is loved by another man. And he says, "Go again to love this woman." So he's sending Hosea to Gomer. Why is he having to send Hosea back to Gomer? "Even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins." So this is Hosea's response. Once again, immediate obedience. God says, "Go get your wife back." And Hosea gets up, and the very next verse, he does it. "So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer of lethek barley. And a homer and a lethek of barley. And I said to her, 'You must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So will I also be to you.'" So Gomer got herself sold into slavery. Like, when you add up the rough value of what Hosea is paying for her, that's about 30 pieces of silver, which was the price for buying a slave. So Hosea, yes. It's very likely that she... So the general idea is that Gomer sold herself to a brothel. So she leaves Hosea. Like, she's so sold out into her adultery that she leaves Hosea, goes back to what's probably her previous way of life. Like, he probably married her when she was a prostitute. And then as she's with him, she leaves and goes back to it. And Hosea has to go buy her. Could you imagine that? Like, not only, it's not even just that he has to go and get back the wife that's been cheating on him, but he has to actually pay money for it. He has to go to the brothel and pay for her. And you learn also about Gomer. Gomer is committed to her sin. She's not repentant. She's not broken up over the fact that she's cheating on Hosea. She actually goes full send and gets back into doing it professionally. Like, Gomer is not someone that Hosea wants to be married to. Gomer's not the kind of person that anyone wants to be married to, right? Someone who's constantly and regularly cheating on them. And yet here Hosea is loving her anyway. And something that I think is very important for us to understand, again, God is using Hosea and Gomer as an example. Do you know who you are in this story? Who I am in this story? If you were at the Q&A a couple months ago, you already know the answer to this. Who are we in this story? Gomer. We're Gomer. Each of us. Hosea in this situation represents God, and Gomer in this situation represents Israel and us. And this is our little divergence from the main point of an example, but it's important that you guys are thinking about this. God loves you. And God saved you from your sin, and God paid a deep price to save you from your sin. In Hosea's case, he buys Gomer for 30 shekels of silver, but in our case, we are paid for by the blood of Jesus, right?
And this isn't a particularly flattering picture of us either. Like, when God describes Christians, when God describes Israel, the people that he's ransomed, he's not saying that, oh yeah, you guys are perfect, you guys are saints, you guys are amazing. He says, you guys are adulterous wives that sell yourself back to the sin that I paid for. Like, Hosea redeems Gomer in the beginning of this, and Gomer goes right back to the sin that she was saved from in the beginning. But how often do we do that? Right? And in the Q&A a few months ago, I said that as I get older, there is no character in the entire Bible that I identify with more than Gomer. And that just continues more and more as I get older. And this is one of the reasons, like we talked about this in the love message when we were talking about 1 Corinthians 13. This is one of the reasons you can't lose your salvation. This is also one of the reasons you can't earn your salvation. Right? You're not good enough. None of us are. Gomer wasn't good enough. Gomer didn't deserve Hosea. Gomer didn't deserve to get redeemed a second time. She didn't deserve to get bought back. She didn't deserve to get taken care of. And neither do we. None of us do. And yet God loves us anyway. And isn't that comforting? It makes me feel so much better. Because even though we're talking about how faithfulness is possible, obedience is possible, each of us sins. And some of us are going to sin a lot. And some of us are going to be involved in deep sin that we never could have imagined ourselves doing. And the thing that we need to understand when we're in that situation is that God is Hosea. Or in a sense, Hosea represents God is probably the better way to say it. Like, you can turn right back. Nothing that you do is so bad that God won't forgive it. But that's if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, none of this is available to you. If you're not a Christian, there is no salvation, there is no redemption, there is nothing. But if you are a Christian, then you're in. But going back to our specific story, I want to show you something else about Hosea. We're going to move away from Gomer being adulterous. So that's point two, is Gomer is adulterous. But now we're going to go right back to Hosea and see how he responds. Hosea is forgiving. And that's point three. Hosea is forgiving. And in the same way that we talked last time about the way that Abigail was fulfilling her role as a wife, and we looked at some other passages to kind of demonstrate that, Hosea continues to fulfill his role as a husband. Which, first of all, while Gomer was, you know, off in slavery working in the brothel, I wonder who might have been raising the three kids. Hosea, right? Presumably. Like, Hosea is still taking care of the things that that Gomer left fallen apart. So he's still fulfilling his role as a father, but even more specifically, it says in verse 3, "And I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man, so I will also be with you." He's essentially saying, we're both going to abstain for a while so that we can get centered on what matters, and you need to take some time completely separate from that thing that you've been doing. And in this section, Hosea is exercising spiritual leadership. And if you read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." And as a husband, one of the primary responsibilities that you have is to love your wife sacrificially and to actively seek out her, spiritual betterment. To be taking care of her and leading her and trying to help her grow stronger because you love her. And ladies, if you're looking for a dude, one of the things that you need to be thinking about is this guy taking care of my spiritual well-being? Is this someone who's causing me to push physical boundaries? Is this someone that's encouraging me to sin? Is this guy a person who's actually making me worse off for having a relationship with him? You shouldn't marry him and you shouldn't date him. But when you're around a guy and you're like, yeah, this is someone who's leading me, who cares about my spiritual well-being, that's a catch. And that's what Hosea is being to Gomer. Even after Gomer is cheating on him, even after Gomer leaves him for the life that he got her out of, he doesn't just bring her back into her household, give her superficial forgiveness, and then say, like, throw his hands up and say, you know what, do whatever you want. You can come back here when you're done. You know, I'll still be here. I'll still be here to take care of you, but just do whatever. I don't care. Like, he doesn't become an absent husband, but he's engaged.
he is actively involved in the leadership of Gomer and taking care of her even when she doesn't deserve it. He's not being a half husband. He's going for it. He's going full send. He's being obedient to God and he's loving Gomer. And in similar fashion to yesterday, a lot of you guys might find yourselves in that situation. You'll find yourselves in a marriage, and even if it's a good marriage, there's going to be times where things are hard. But especially if it's a bad marriage, you still have the responsibility to be the faithful spouse. You still have the responsibility to love God. You still have the responsibility to love the person that you're with. And Hosea and Abigail both demonstrated that. And again, there are a whole lot of other places in your life where you're going to need to be faithful. Like, marriage isn't the only one, but statistically speaking, it's the one that most of you will be in. But that same faithfulness that shows up in marriage, Hosea has a commitment to obedience. God says it, he does it. And that's the kind of thing that helps your marriage. That's the kind of thing that helps you in school. That's the kind of thing that helps you with your parents. That helps you everywhere. Abigail was loving and humble and wise and kind. And that's the kind of thing that helps you in a marriage. That's the kind of thing that helps you in school. That's the kind of thing that helps you with your parents. That's the kind of thing that helps you everywhere. And when you look at these people and you see that there's this commitment to doing the right thing and doing it actively and quickly and regardless of whatever anyone else in your life does, that's the commitment that it takes to have a faithful life. And that faithful life is possible. Each of you guys has the opportunity to do that. And you have examples before you who have done it first. So, just think about that. Hosea was in an extremely difficult situation. He was going to throw his life in shambles so that God could prove a point to the nation of Israel. And he did it happily. Gomer was adulterous. She didn't deserve Hosea's kindness. She didn't deserve anything that she got. And yet Hosea gave it to her anyway. And he didn't give it to her half-heartedly. He gave it to her all the way. And he cared about her. But far beyond that, as Christians, we're Gomer. And the biggest point, like, you should totally, 100%, by the way, read the book of Hosea. It's one of my favorite books for a whole lot more reasons than just the story of Hosea and just my identifying with Gomer. Like, there's so much in there. But God is forgiving. And even when you're not able to live up to the faithfulness that you're able to, even when you fail and when you fall short, God's there with open arms to forgive you, to let you back in, and to help you start again. And that is hopefully one of the most comforting and encouraging things in your entire life. That no matter how far you go, no matter how far off the rails, God's there. And if you're not a Christian, that's available to you. It's not just heaven later. It's not just escaping hell. But you are entering into a relationship with a God who loves you and cares about you. And that makes life better now. Not necessarily because you get to accomplish all of your dreams, not necessarily because you get all the money, but because you have God regardless of the situation, and that's a good thing. And that's a good thing for a lot longer than just this life. And if you are a Christian, you've already got that. But, you know, some things to think about. Be obedient, but even when you can't, be repentant, because God will forgive you. So with that, let's bow our heads, close our eyes. We'll do some small groups for a hot second. Lord, thank you for the example of Hosea and Gomer. Thank you that you've given us such a tangible representation of what your forgiveness looks like. That even when we don't deserve it, that even when we are Gomer, even when we are adulterous, even when we betray you, even when we go right back to the same sin struggles that you saved us from in the beginning, that you take care of us anyway. That you don't half-heartedly accept us into your kingdom as second-rate Christians, but that you accept us in with open arms, and that you make us members of your family, and that you love us and care about us regardless of what we do. I pray that you would help us to be encouraged by Hosea's obedience and the example that he gave us. I pray that you would help us to be encouraged even more by what it represents. Lord, for those of us who perhaps haven't accepted you, who aren't Christians, who haven't repented of our sin and haven't joined your family, I pray that you would work on our hearts and help us to make that commitment
to accept you, to be repentant, and to enter into the relationship that you offer. And for those of us who are Christians, I pray that you would constantly remind us that no matter what we do, no matter how far we go, no matter what sin we commit, that you are still there to forgive us. And Lord, thank you for that. And we pray these things in the name of our King Jesus Christ, the one who had to pay the penalty of the sin that you take us from. Amen.